kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Title for us to talk on today, and we're calling the title I Know Them. I Know Them. And we're going to base this from the Gospel of John, chapter 10, and we're going to look at verses 22 through to verse 30. John 10. Verses 22 through to 30, and we're calling today, I Know Them. And this is the teaching of this chapter where Jesus reveals himself as the true shepherd. He's the good shepherd and shows how you enter in through the narrow way. And he then continues with his teaching, where in verses 22 to 30, he now begins to show that the shepherd knows his sheep, and his sheep know the shepherd. And he's giving this because there are Jews around, the religious people, and he exposes their unbelief, why it is they don't believe and they have a problem. And so with that, bearing that in mind, let's just read this through, verses 22 to 30 of John 10, and we're calling this, I Know Them. Now, it was the Feast of Dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then the Jews surrounded him. How long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe, because you are not of my sheep. As I said to you, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. And I gave them eternal life and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. I know them. That's what we're talking about today. So let's just break this down a bit. And back in verse 22, he says, and it was the Feast of Dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon. Now, this feast in the winter time was known as Hanukkah. And this feast was to celebrate and rededicate the temple, because going back in history, their temple was desecrated by Epiphanes, and he was a king of Syria in 164 BC. And he rained complete terror on the Jews. He desecrated the temple. He stole millions in gold and silver out of the temple treasury. He absolutely prohibited any circumcision, and anyone found circumcised was punishable by death. And I won't even go into what he actually did to mothers who circumcised their boys. It was horrendous. He turned their temple into prostitution. He burned all their offerings, and he offered up his own offerings to his Greek gods. And he even sacrificed pigs upon the altar. Jews were slaughtered in that time, and also many were sold into slavery. But during that time, there was the rise of the Maccabees, who were Jewish warriors, and they went in and they took hold of Judea and released the Jews from this slaughter. So that gives us an understanding of what is going on here, where Jesus enters in verse 22. Now it was the feast of dedication in Jerusalem. That is what it is. They still today celebrate Hanukkah, and that's what that festival means, where the temple, the altar, everything was rededicated back unto the Lord. And it then goes on in verse 24, then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, how long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. So here they are, they're plotting to get him to say that he's probably the king of the Jews. That's what they're trying to get out of him. Then they can accuse him before the Roman governor and have him up coming against Roman authority and those ruling at that time. So they surround him. They say, how long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. And Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness of me. So he says to them, I told you, and you don't believe. You see, there are many accounts where Jesus, in his preaching and teaching, and many times these Jews came because they had their eye on him, they were after him, they were out to trick him in any way they could. Many times he revealed to them about, I told you. And I'll just give a few references on how the Lord tried to teach these stiff-necked religious people, but the problem is they never ever received what he said because they never mixed faith with that which they heard. And I'll give just a few accounts of the times that Jesus revealed himself, who he actually was. And he said, I am the one who comes from heaven. He told them that back in John 3. He told them also, whoever believes on me has eternal life. He told them again back in 3. They heard all of this. He also told them, I will judge all humanity in John 5. He said to them, you should honor me just as the honor the God and Father. John 5. He says, I told you the Hebrew scriptures all speak of me. Again, he spoke of that in John 5. He said, I told you I perfectly reveal God the Father. John 7. He told them, I always please God and never sin. He told them that in John 8. He told them, I am uniquely sent from God. In John 8, he told them. He also told them, before Abraham was, I am. In John 8. He also told them, I am the Son of Man, prophesied by Daniel. In John 9. He also told them, I will raise myself from the dead, in John 10. He also told them, I am the bread of life, in John 6. He said to them also, I am the light of the world, in John 8. He also told them, I am the door, John 10. And finally, he told them, I am the good shepherd, John 10. These are religious leaders of their time. And it clearly revealed that they didn't really know the word of God. And why didn't they know? Because they didn't believe. And that is why we make so much, as it says in Hebrews 11:6, that without faith it is impossible to please God. You are given faith as a gift in which to believe, Ephesians 2 tells us. And that's by the grace of God. And that is why he rebuked them like he did. And he, in many ways, was exposing them to the people that were looking to these charlatans to show that he's the word, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And God does still exactly the same, because nothing changes. Nothing is different. We still have these charlatans. We still have many of these preachers and teachers who don't preach faith. And they don't know. And many follow them. Because Jesus reveals he is the true shepherd. And he shows that if you want to follow the true shepherd, narrow is the way. Few there be that find it. And the problem is because they don't believe. And that's why God pulls us up. He's constantly reminding us that we're not believing as we should. And we go on in this in a minute to see whether we do believe or we don't believe. So there he is, against these Jews trying to plot against him, scheme against him, so that they can hand him over to the Jews, to the Romans, I should say. And then it goes on, and he says, but you do not believe because you are not of my sheep, as I said to you. So he's now really coming out. He says, I told you, you don't believe. And he says, the reason you don't believe, because you are not my sheep, as I said to you. Because he's saying that the works I did, healing, delivering, raising from the dead, should have spoken to you. You should have known who I am by the very works that they were seeing. And they couldn't deny it. They couldn't deny what works were being done through Jesus. They were seeing it with their own eyes, which simply proves again that even if they see miracles, and I'm all for miracles, I'm all for signs, but they do not save. Only faith in God's word saves us. We see God's creation. We see the heavens and the earth. We see his handiwork. Everywhere when we look out, we see the creation of God, but that doesn't save man. It can make him religious, but it doesn't save. Our salvation is when we choose to believe this word with that childlike faith and we don't doubt. That is what saves us. And for some, they can accept that, and for others, they don't. And it's always a problem for religious people. Why religious religious people because they've got their minds filled with a load of religion. And we know that religion saved man. And we know who is very religious. Lucifer, Satan. So we see where the root of the problem comes. So the Lord made it very clear to the Jews. He told them. They heard his preaching. He didn't hide where he was from and where he was going back and so on. But they couldn't receive it because they were blinded. What blinded them? Their unbelief. And even the works they saw, and yet they still didn't believe. And here he goes to the root of the whole problem in humanity. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. Now, in the Greek, the word voice means phone. It's that which is revealed. It's intimate. It's spoken into the heart. It is a witness. You know the sound of this voice, the same as if you hear the sound of a guitar or a piano, musical instrument. You don't go and search or find this that is playing, that sound. You're familiar to it. And here is exactly the same idea. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, they follow me. You know his voice. You are responding to his voice. And that voice that is within you, that calls you, and that has called you from before eternity, you witness to. And we witness to the revelation of God's word from Genesis to Revelation. It is a witness to the voice that calls us. I know that it is right. I may not fully understand the jot and tittle of it all, but I know it witnesses, it sounds right. And this is why I say so often that true ministers that are anointed of God, standing behind the pulpit, are a confirmation to the voice that you have within you, the great shepherd that calls you. It is witnessing to the Spirit, to the voice. I see what he preaches, I see it in the word of God, and it witnesses to me. Now, God can use the personality of the person he's anointed. Of course he does. He's not limited to that. But what he is saying lines up with the word of God. It is a witness to my spirit, to my heart. And that is what we're called by. And that is why you could not rest in your life. That is why you found yourself not going along with all the main media, the mainstream. That is things or things that are said. Because you have that inner voice, the voice of the Spirit. And he says, you are my sheep. Because you know my voice, you know the sound of my voice. You are attuned to it. The same as you can discern what musical instrument is playing, so you discern my voice. That word phone, that's what it means. I'm attuned to it. And he says, I know them and they follow me. So he says, you don't only hear that voice, but he says the voice that you hear, God says, I know you. And that means to know you It's because he says, I know you, you're one with me, and I'm one with you. And the Father has given that. As we say so often, when Jesus hung on the cross, the Father gave him a seed to redeem from the world. He gave him that as a son. That's the authority, that's the blessing, that's the gift the Father gave to the Son to redeem a seed. And here it is. He says, I know them. You are of his seed, reaped from the world. And how does he do it? By this word. And when you hear this word, you know in your heart it rings right. It's, I can hear the sound. It's right what I hear. And that's why we can release faith to believe in that. And that is what pleases our Father. And your faith, believing in the promises of God's word, brings it into being, that makes you whole in mind, body and spirit. As you believe and embrace and take these promises to yourself, confess, believe upon them. These promises are given you from your Father's heart. When you stand upon a promise, that has been given to you. How do you know? Because because you hear his voice. And he says, I know them and they follow me. A man or woman of faith will follow the great shepherd, will not follow a man or a denomination or an institution or anything religious. No, they follow the great shepherd, Jesus Christ himself. And that's why he draws us and gathers us together under him, not under a man. It's under him. He is head over us. And their unbelief, these Jews, simply proved that they were not chosen. And because if you're not chosen, you are still in your sins. And that's what he was saying. And those who are not eternally chosen remain in their sins. They can talk about religion. They can talk about the Lord. Even devils can talk about Jesus. Devils know that Jesus exists, but they know where their fate lies. And many will talk about Jesus. Many will agree. But they're still dead in their sins unless they hear the shepherd call them and they believe upon the word of God. And he says, and I give them, verse 28, eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Now, either that, verse 28, is good news to you, or it doesn't bother you. It's just another scripture. You know how you react by what you read there in verse 28. I give them eternal life. They will never perish. Nobody will snatch them out of my hand. They are absolutely secure in me. Now that either quickens you in the spirit or it doesn't. You either believe that or you don't. You see? because there is your eternal security. That is a sign you will either have your sins dealt with through the blood of Jesus or not. Because Jesus speaks very plainly now here, and he speaks plainly to these Jews. He's exposing their unbelief. They aren't chosen, and they're still in their sins. Because a soul that is saved abides in Christ, and we find security in the hands who created us, who created the world. We find security in him. I experience security when I hear God. I experience security when we come together in fellowship under Jesus. It all confirms that security to me, that calling upon my life. I'm known of him. He first loved me, chose me. It wasn't in me. We find security in that, comfort in that, fellowship, that koinonia, that unity that we have with Christ and each other. It should be a source of comfort. That's what it should be. And these Jews, they didn't know anything about it. They're standing there as a group, and they are a clique. That's what they are. You find religious people are cliquey. They come together because those demons within them identify with each other. That's why you've got that old saying in the world, birds of a feather flock together. And you see that in the world. But not with Christ, not with the Lord. He's neither bond nor free, Jew nor Greek, we're all one in Christ. There's not even male or female. He's not even looking at our sex. We come together and we worship him in spirit and in truth. He sees this as one sweet fragrance coming up before the throne of grace, acknowledging him, honoring him, praising him, worshiping him, believing upon his word. That's what he looks for. That's what glorifies him. Not this arguing and bickering and choosing what to believe and not to believe. Nobody can grow in that environment. Our great shepherd brings us into the true surroundings and pastures where we know we're protected from the predators. That's what he does. That's what we're experiencing, brothers and sisters. We are so blessed in FGA. I don't think we've realized at times. You go out to a lot of these places, you will not experience what you are experiencing. And I give God all the praise and all the glory. Why us? I'll never, ever know. What have we done to deserve any of this? Nothing. But he first loved us. He said, I know them, and you know my voice. And follow. That's why we keep coming. That's why we keep listening. Because something within us wants that voice that's within us to be confirmed, to hear. Because that is where our faith comes, you see. And then he goes on in verse 28, 29. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and neither shall any snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. So he's now showing our eternal security, he's moving from his self. If that's not enough, he's now showing the one who's confirming this, my Father, because he's one with the Father. So how much is he showing our eternal security by pointing us to the Father, who is our security? Because he's showing there is only one who can speak with such authority. In his flesh, he's now turning to the Father with regard to our eternal salvation, our eternal security, because he's the one with the authority to speak that. And yet we doubt it. Oh, I'm not sure whether I'm saved. Oh, I'm finding it so hard to believe, and whatever. And so it goes on. Look what's being said here in verse 29. And that's why we respond to his word, his voice. Because he knows we will respond and we won't resist. I take great comfort in these verses here because this tells me I'm not going to resist. I'm called. I may find it difficult. It may have my name and address on it. But I'm not going to resist. Praise God. You see, those who resist are offended. You have to question after a time, are they saved? Are they called? Because these are the clear signs. For some, this is good news. For others, this offends. Doesn't offend me, because there's nothing in me. I was rotten to the core when God found me. It's good news to my ears, and it should be all to those who follow him. The word must always point us to the person, Jesus Christ, who is alive today through the Holy Spirit. And that's why he makes it personal to you. It's what you need to hear. It's the right time. It's a personal message to you and to me. It's what we need to hear right now by the Spirit, you see. This is why I love the Word of God. I love coming under the anointing because it's the personal word to us, to you, to me. It's what I need to hear today. And it witnesses to me. And that's why I can praise and thank him. A word in season or out of season, as the scriptures tell us. Exactly what we need. We need to hear this today. This is the word for us today. He says, I want you to know I am your shepherd and you know my voice. You follow my voice and I know you. He's talking about love relationship here. Something that is intimate, personal. Because that's what that Greek word means, to hear his voice. It's like a husband and wife. They speak intimate things that no one else in that relationship hears. It's not for other ears. And this is what he's saying. This is what it means. This is intimate to your spirit, to your heart. And it's the word of God. Why does he do this? Because this inspires our faith to believe. The same as in a relationship between a husband and wife, they need to speak positively, lovingly. Healing, it keeps that relationship intact in love. That is why when in relationships you start to lie or be dishonest, that is what breaks that trust. And how the devil works overtime in relationships with that. And he tries to do that the same with us, with our faith, our relationship with the Lord. He tries to sow those doubts in our mind, to question. And what is he doing? He's trying to get to your faith, to stop you believing. Are you getting it now, brothers and sisters? That's why these few verses here are so profound to us. Yes, praise God from the Songs of Solomon. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Exactly, exactly, praise God. No, this is God's love letter. Us, the Bible, the Word of God. It's intimate, and it is those who are eternally called from the foundation of the world who will believe and respond to it. This is so supernatural that flesh and blood does not reveal this. This comes by the Spirit of God. What a mighty God we have. What a great God we serve. And he has his own. And praise God for our meetings. Praise God we can come together regularly under his banner. And there he can speak life to us, that we can believe and stand upon these promises. Praise God.